Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Word of God, I think you've all heard this before, but I want you to hear it again. The Word of God is both law and gospel. In a Lutheran church, you've heard that many times. The Bible is a long book full of many things, many subjects, many historical eras, many people. But the Word of God can be divided into law and gospel. When you read the Bible, you should say, is this a law passage or is this a gospel passage? And just to review a bit, the law is God's commandments. The law is the stuff God tells you to do. The law is the thing God requires of you. Thou shalt not, that's a law, right? You must do this, that's a law. Now, the law is good and holy, it's God's will. But it's not the only thing in the Bible. Many times people preach as if the entirety of Christianity is summed up in be a good person, and that is not so. Because the Bible also has the gospel, which is the wonderful promises of God. God's grace and His mercy, His love for you. Not the stuff that you do, but the thing that has been done. Usually by Jesus, right? Every passage that says Christ died for sinners, gospel. By grace you've been saved through faith. This not of yourselves. What's that? The gospel. The Bible's full of both of these things. And to that end, this morning I'm going to look at our first reading and our second reading. Usually I preach on the gospel. I'm not going to look at the gospel today. I'm going to look at our first and second lessons. And I want us to notice what's going on there, thinking at all times in the back of our mind, law or gospel. And by the way, sometimes they can happen pretty close together. I will real quickly also quote C.F.W. Walther, the first president and founding president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, who said that law and gospel is easy to understand but hard to master. So very quickly you can figure it. I know the law and I know the gospel, and then later you'll be reading a passage of the Bible and say, well, which is this? And you send an email to your pastor saying, which is it? And he responds saying, I'm not sure either, right? So it's not always easy to master. But I want us to look at Exodus 19. And as we do, I want us to bear in mind a little background how we got, if you're in the Bible, at Exodus 19. Remember, in the beginning of Exodus, Israel are slaves in Egypt. And God has sent them Moses. Pharaoh will not let the people go. God sends 10 plagues. And then he does let them go. Israel flees across the desert. Pharaoh changes his mind, sends the army out to retrieve them, and they're trapped against the Red Sea, army behind them, Red Sea in front of them. God, right, splits the waters. They go through all that passage, right? God drowns the Egyptians. Israel is safe. Here they are at Mount Sinai. Former slaves rescued by God, brought out of Egypt, having seen the power of God against the Egyptians, now they're safe, and they're at Mount Sinai, and Moses goes up to God. Think of that. That was a powerful thing. Moses goes up to God, and I'll point something out in the text. In the Hebrew, it's hard to translate this. It's clumsy English, so the translators don't do it. The Hebrew literally says, Moses went up to the God. It doesn't just say Elohim. It says Ha Elohim. Ha is the Hebrew definite article. Moses went up to the God. How many gods are there? Just one. This God, Moses, goes up to him. You got where we are? So now let's look at what God says. In Exodus 19, God speaks in verse 3. Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, verse 4, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians. Law or gospel? That's law. You have seen what I what? Did. Now, what did God do to the Egyptians? Punished them, right? Plagues, destruction, including death. That's the law. That's God in His judgment. God is saying, you've seen my power, by the way. Sometimes people ask about, the Bible says quite often, fear the Lord. And yeah, granted, fear often means respect. But fear can sometimes mean fear, right? We are talking about the God who has the power of life and death in His hand. God is saying, you've seen what I did to the Egyptians. What's the implication? Don't do that, right? That's what He's saying. You've seen the Egyptians. They were disobedient. I punished them. Don't. That's a word of law. Now, I want to notice how quickly it switches. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. law or gospel. That's gospel. I rescued you from the Egyptians. I brought you here. I saved you. I delivered you. That's the activity of God. That's God doing what they could not do. Right? If God is doing something we can't do for ourselves, that's the gospel. I want to point out a couple fun things in the Hebrew. Some of you have heard me say these things in other contexts. I love that all translators always say that God bears you up on eagle's wings. The Hebrew word is not eagle. Some of you know what it is. It's buzzard. The Hebrew word there is buzzard or vulture. That strikes us as weird. Think about where Israel is. Much of it is desert. They've seen buzzards flying. How do buzzards fly? Way up high. And what are they doing? They're just soaring on top of the updraft, right? It's an effortless flying. It's a beautiful image, but we don't have a positive view of buzzards. That's why the translators always say eagles. But I assure you, the same thing in the psalm this morning, God bears you up. The same thing in Isaiah 40, God lifts you up like on the wings of a buzzard. That's nice, right? And so anyway, that's a wonderful text. God has brought us up and lifts us up. We soar above all things. And this is what he says. If you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession. Now, I want us to know something about this. Is again, Hebrew's a tough language. This is tough to translate. The verb there, it does not say, if you will obey my voice. It does not say obey. What does it say? It says Shema. Shema means to hear, to listen. Remember, the Old Testament statement of faith is called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. That's the statement of faith. He doesn't say, obey my voice. He said, if you will hear my voice. And he doesn't say, and if you will keep my covenant. He says, shamar. You see the wordplay? If you will shema and shamar. Shamar means to guard, to protect. It literally means like to esteem. And you could almost translate it, it would cherish. God is saying, O people of Israel, if you would hear my voice, and if you would cherish my word. You see, he's saying that's a little bit nicer, isn't it, than if you obey my voice and keep my commandments. God is saying that he has spoken to us, how? In both law and gospel. And he's saying, I want you to hear my words. What are the words of God? His law and his gospel. Hear the gospel. Hear the law, by the way. Cherish them both. Then you'll be his people. Then he says, you'll be a kingdom of priests. That's a lot like 1 Peter 2, where Peter says, all of you are priests. Did you know that? Everyone here entrusted with the word of God. It's not a bunch of church members and one priest. It's a whole group of priests and one under shepherd right here. But that's what he says. And what do the people say? God says, so see what I did to the Egyptians? That's law. But I brought you up on the wings of a buzzard. I have to keep saying that, right? It's a wonderful text. I brought you up on the wings of a buzzard. And what did they say? We'll do the word of the Lord. Now let me ask you this. Did they do the word of the Lord? Well, the rest of the Old Testament says they did that in kind of a mixed bag, right? But I want to, let's be generous to them and say they're probably being sincere. Now, this is the tough part, and I want us to get this. We're in Exodus 19. Our pericope ended right there. I want to read a verse after the pericope. If you brought a Bible, I'm going to be at verse 16. And I want us to get verse 16. Because after Exodus 19, what chapter comes next? Exodus chapter 20. And Exodus chapter 20 is the giving of the Ten Commandments. Now let me ask you this. Ten Commandments, law or gospel? Law. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. The Ten Commandments are the law. Now we're not attacking the law. The law is good. The law is holy. The law is God's will for our life. But who here is going to be saved by keeping the law? No one. And so God is about to give that law. It is his word, it's his will, and it's his intent. But I want you to hear Exodus 19, 16, just before giving a law that says this. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning and a thick cloud on the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Trembled. I want us to hear this. The law of God is good and right and holy and pure, and it cannot save. So God is about to give that law, and he says, I'm going to give you the law, but in the context of law, it's going to happen in thunder and lightning and a loud noise, and you're going to be fearful. You know why? Because it is not salvation, right? It is not salvation. So that's what we need to be very, very clear about that. That we esteem the law, we're not against the law, not preaching against the law, not speaking against it in any way, but it is not salvation. And that is why I want us to go over to Romans chapter 5. By the way, there was gospel in that text, but I want us to go to Romans chapter 5. We read beginning at verse 6. Whenever I get there, I always think, I'm not sure, how do you get to Romans 5 and skip verse 1, right? I want to read that verse, Romans 5, 1, critical verse in the Bible. I want us to hear it. Therefore, by the way, the therefore always points to what he's been talking about the previous chapters, right? That nobody is righteous, nobody keeps the law, but there is a promise of God. That's what Romans 1-4 is about. And that Abraham discovered that promise and believed it. Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Law or gospel? It's gospel. Justified, faith, peace with God, Christ, every bit of it, gospel, right? The law, intimidating and powerless to save. And therefore, we have discovered a different truth, not in conflict, but supplementary to, a different truth that faith in Christ saves. And I want to read verse 2. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. I want to emphasize this phrase, in which we stand. I love that phrase. I want you to hear this. People of God, you stand in the grace of God, right? That's who you are. You stand in the grace of God. You've been baptized and claimed by God. You're in his grace and his favor. Now, why does it say stand? Because stand means to withstand, right? Paul says many times, to stand firm in the things of God. He says stand firm because he's saying the wind and the rain are going to come. You stand, right? Come what may, stand in the grace of God. I want us to know that. Now, Romans 5, 6. This is something I just noticed this week. Verses 6, 8, and 10. In other words, every other verse, the phrase, while we were, happens in all those verses. This is a gospel passage. It's about the love of God for you in Christ, but he wants us to get who we are. And so verse 6, verse 8, verse 10, he says, while we were, and I want us to look at what those three words are. Do you see them? And if you have a bulletin, you can see it right there. Verse 6, while we were what? Weak. That means we're not strong enough to save ourselves. Verse 8, while we were sinners. That means we're not righteous enough to save ourselves. And verse 10, while we were enemies. Do you hear that? So the gospel of God is that in Jesus Christ and in no other way, he has loved you and redeemed you. But he says, by the way, so we remember who we are. We were weak and sinners and enemies of God. Now, that sounds law-ish. That's just a reminder. But here's the gospel. While we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Right? You see that? That's what he's saying here. While we were enemies, he loved us. If he saved us while we were enemies of God, how much more does he love us now, right? There's this wonderful thing where he says, you know, some people might be willing to die on behalf of a good person. He's saying, in other words, if somebody threatened your family, some folks would stand and say, I will put my life on the line to defend my family. But he's quickly going to say, that's not the gospel. God did not save us because we were good people. God saved us when? While we were sinners, you see it? He's saying this is a different thing. While we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't say, if you guys get a little bit better, I'll take it the rest of the way. He's saying, while we were sinners and enemies of God, Christ died for you. That's the gospel. Christ died for sinners. He's going to talk about Adam. Maybe that seems confusing for a bit. We don't have a lot of time to talk about it. I want to say this. He's saying that there was Adam who rebelled against God, and in Adam, we're all sinful and die. But there's a second Adam, and his name is Jesus. And that second Adam isn't death, is life. And he's going to, this is the point. He's saying you are all either in Adam or in Christ. By grace, you're in Christ. And I want us to notice this verse then. He says in verse 15, the free gift is not like the trespass. Adam fell and brought sin and death to the world. Many died through that one man's trespass, but much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. You see it? Abounded. The trespass of Adam, the grace of God in Christ, abounded. He's saying grace is greater. Now, this is what he's saying. This is the gospel. While we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And he's going to say, who here among us has committed sin? All of us. And he's going to say, the grace of Christ is greater than that. He's going to say, your adversary, the devil, will remind you, here's your worst sin. And Paul would say, the grace of God in Christ is greater than that too. Right? The Bible is both law and gospel. Read them, trust them, understand. They're all inspired, all the word of God. But the gospel is the promise of God for salvation for all those who believe and who stand, right? Who stand in Christ. Amen. We stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.